From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The federal government shutdown is approaching 1 month. As it continues to drag on, food benefits for nearly 42 million people in the U.S. are in limbo. The USDA announced that due to the shutdown, there will be no food stamp benefits issued November 1st, saying on its website that, quote, bottom line, the well has run dry. Which means CalFresh, the state's version of SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, will be paused. More than 5 million Californians depend on these federal benefits. So we're going to get a better understanding of what's in jeopardy locally. Ethan Dyes, the director of the Sacramento County Department of Human Assistance, which administers CalFresh, among other government programs for low-income residents. Welcome.
Thank you.
So what services do you offer in Sac County? I briefly touched upon it, but if you can expand your role in the county.
The Department of Human Assistance issues benefits for CalFresh, CalWorks, which is a cash aid program for families with dependent children. We also do Medi-Cal, and we do a few other programs like general assistance, foster care, and aid to adoptions.
How many residents use CalFresh in Sacramento County?
270,000, approximately.
Okay, so more than a quarter million. How do these benefits get distributed?
So when somebody applies or they continue on with their benefits, we put their benefits on an EBT card so individuals can go to restaurants who accept restaurant meals program. They can go to stores that accept EBT, but it's put on a card so folks can go in and just use it much like we use debit cards. Mm.
Throughout this month, as the government shutdown continues to drag on, it started on October 1st. At the county, how have you been navigating this uncertainty as now we're approaching the end of the month and these federal benefits will be paused come November 1st?
So we have done a lot of messaging to our customers in multiple languages, multiple formats. We believe individuals need to know what is going on. The state and county have looked at a variety of different methods to, is there anything that we can do to be able to add a benefit, to do things that the federal government can't or is not funded to do today. And unfortunately, that's not something that can happen. So what we're doing is making sure folks know, call 211, go to your food banks, and we're trying to do a big messaging campaign with the food banks to say, what do you really need? Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't just go to a food bank and say, you know, we have these things in our pantry, but what do the food banks really need for the community so we're able to maximize that effort?
Okay, so does CalFresh also encompass WIC? I mean, those are benefits as well for women, infants, and children, or is that separate?
It is separate, and WIC is safe through, I believe it is, December.
Okay. Why is SNAP being impacted? I thought this federal food stamp benefit program, CalFresh, isn't it considered a mandatory benefit even during a shutdown?
Unfortunately, it is not. It is an entitlement program. However, there, because the way the shutdown is and it's based on actual funding, there is no funding or allocation for the SNAP program. Therefore, there is no money to have states be able to pay onto the cards.
So have you been anticipating this as this shutdown has continued to drag on?
We started getting some messaging in October, early October, that this may be happening. And then we have, as a county-administered program, we actually administer benefits on behalf of the state. So we have been talking with our Emergency Operations Center. We have a Department Operations Center open through Department of Health Services, trying to figure out what is the best way to get information out. And so now that we have all of the information, we have all of the guidance, we're getting all that information out to customers as quickly as we possibly can.
Okay. Well, on its homepage, the USDA, it has a banner right at the top saying no benefits will be issued November 1st. When that announcement happens online, how does that announcement trickle down and impact counties like Sacramento? You mentioned that you collaborate with food banks. How does that impact individuals, other organizations? There's a whole network and ecosystem here.
It is a massive network and ecosystem. It's going to have a huge impact. We have 270,000 individuals who rely on CalFresh benefits. 90,000 of those are children. And so with folks not being able to eat, we know that, you know, if you're hungry, you may not be able to concentrate in school, or, you know, your parents are going to be working overtime and doing things to try to figure out how they can bring more resources to the household and to the family. And so really it's about getting the communication out and figuring out what are all the resources that the community has that we're able to navigate people to. This is an important issue.
You mentioned that you're also talking with the state. I mean, can the state step in to buffer the pausing of federal food assistance?
So the state cannot. So the CalFresh benefit is 100% federally funded. And because of that, there is no mechanism for the state to actually put money onto a card. And so what that does is it creates the vacuum that we're seeing today and that we're all gravely concerned about.
Mm-hmm. What is the average amount that a family or a household receives if they're eligible for CalFresh in Sacramento County?
We have approximately 150,000 cases, and a case is a family household, and it's about $370 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now that is not going to drop on November 1st.
Correct. And I think I also want to make a clarification that in Sacramento and in the state of California, food benefits are issued by the last digit of a case number. So if your last digit is a 1, you get paid on the 1st, 2nd, 2, 3, 4. So if the federal government is able to come to a collective agreement and fund CalFresh or fund SNAP, there may be a couple day delay, but other folks may not see an impact to their benefits because we issue over a 10-day period.
Okay, so say the government shutdown ends today. How soon will people receive their November CalFresh benefits? Would those with that end digit of a 1, would they still be impacted if it were to end hypothetically today?
So that's a really hard question to ask because the state works with our EBT vendor, but the EBT vendor has said it will be a 2 to 3 day delay in order because they have to do, our vendor does multiple states. And so they would be able to do the benefit, but we also received clarification last week that benefits will be retroactively applied once the shutdown is over. So if we got past that 10-day mark and nobody received benefits, and let's say on the 12th of the month, the federal government's able to fund it, they would get their benefits back to November 1st.
Okay, so it will be retroactive.
Yes.
So the longest government shutdown in history, it spanned 35 days. It wasn't that long ago. It was back in 2018 during President Trump's first term. We're about a week from tying that record. How did Sac County navigate that time?
It was a little different in the original, I can't remember what date it was, 2016, 2018. It was different because there was a different interpretation of how much money the federal government would keep in certain benefits. Mm-hmm. So at one point, a few years ago, they had 2 months worth of benefits that they would keep in a contingency. Now they have 1 month, which was the month of October. And the federal government is also not utilizing the contingency they have currently, which is about $5 billion, I believe, to fund benefits because they say they don't have the authority to do so.
How do you account or explain that change? That change in interpretation, that change in, I don't know, saving kind of like a rainy day fund for SNAP benefits?
I think it's something we see with all administrations, reinterpretation of existing policy and existing rules and regulations. So I think it's a product of that.
Was CalFresh impacted?
I don't believe we saw an impact in CalFresh.
Okay, so I guess in your experience, is something like this unprecedented, the fact that CalFresh can be paused?
I have been with the department for 20 years, and I never thought I'd be having this conversation. This is absolutely unprecedented, and it's honestly the first time in my career and for my staff, who are absolutely phenomenal in navigating the work they do, really having not really having that ability to feel like we don't have our hands tied. You know, we're doing everything we can. We're working with the state. The state's doing everything they can. But this is a very different issue than we have ever seen.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Sacramento County Department of Human Assistance, which administers CalFresh after the USDA announced that food benefits will be paused as of November 1st due to the ongoing government shutdown. So our producer here at CAP Radio, Greg Michek, he spoke with Gabriel Kendall. He's the executive director of Community Link Capital Region. That's a company that operates 211 in Sacramento and Yolo counties. And that number connects people to local services from housing to utility assistance, as well as food assistance. How does 211 work in tandem with your department?
So we actually fund part of 211 because they do receive a lot of calls and inquiries from folks who are looking for my services for food assistance, healthcare, or a cash aid benefit. So we work with 211. We fund a little bit of 211, and they are an asset to the county because they have they know where everything is, and there's so many organizations that work with 211 to be able to put that information out there, so it's not a single resource.
Yeah. I mean, he told Greg last week during that interview that they've experienced a year-over-year increase in call volume in Sacramento and Yolo counties. They're projecting 275,000 211 calls this year. They've already surpassed 225,000 calls, all while resources have dwindled. Let's take a brief listen of what he partly told Greg.
We're already experiencing the impact of higher needs in the community, the higher cost of living that's been driven by the inflation trends in recent years. So we've already been experiencing about 20 to 25% year-over-year increase in call volume. So this year we're tracking to hit a high water mark multiple years in a row. And as we head into the impact of the shutdown, it's only going to drive those needs higher when there are limited resources. So call volume is at an all-time high, the need is at an all-time high, and there are, quite frankly, less resources accessible. So it's going to have some really significant impacts. Given the current situation in terms of federal policy budget challenges, we're actually looking at reductions coming into the coming year, and so funding levels are dropping. So we would love to ramp up staffing to handle that call volume, but the funding's not there to support it. So we're just having to be creative in ways where we can build capacity, pull people from other areas of the operation to build capacity short term to be able to handle that high water mark in terms of call volume. But at the moment, we're basically being tasked with doing more with less resources to support.
Okay, so there are funding challenges, less resources, higher demand, more support. This seems like there's a larger problem or issue at play.
I believe there is, and I, to be very honest and transparent, I think we see that across a lot of social service dynamics. So we as a department, we face the same issues. Increased demand, fewer staff, fewer state, federal resources. I do know we had a conversation last year with 211. They had asked for an increase, and that is still on the table for this year as we start to look at and plan for the upcoming years. It is definitely something that we are all facing in terms of being able to help folks.
When it comes to social services and the support and the infrastructure, why is funding it a challenge?
Funding's at a challenge really because of how the dollars come in, whether it's property taxes, whether it's state allocations, and how other funding is brought in. And cost of living is high for all of us. And so when you start to see resources changing, then you start to see what we're really feeling today. And I think one of the other issues that we see is federal policy changes that also impact community. So House Resolution 1 has a significant impact for us come on October of next year. And so, and what that means is the way CalFresh is funded today, it's 50% federal, 35% state, and 15% county. But with House Resolution 1, it changes to 25% federal. And so the state and county have to now bridge another 25%. And as you start looking at the dollars that are in community and how budgets play out, those it becomes significant.
Okay, so even if or when this government shutdown comes to an end and CalFresh resumes, I mean, there are still some pretty big challenges ahead.
There are. The benefit side will still continue to be what it is. So my budget, I have two separate sides. And so one of them is the actual admin costs. So admin costs are going up because of the change in federal policy. The benefit side is staying consistent. However, there are negative parts to HR 1 where certain populations that are eligible today are not going to be eligible into the future. And that we also have just changes in the dynamic of bringing back work requirements and how those are going to impact community for folks who are not in a space where they actually can work.
Mm. In the last few minutes that we have, as it stands today, you mentioned there's 270,000 residents in Sacramento County who rely on CalFresh. What would you like them to know as we inch closer to November 1st?
That's a really difficult question to answer. There's so many things, and I wish that we would have been able to get messaging out at the state level and county level a little faster so people can make informed decisions on whether they wanted to maintain benefits or, you know, go to other resources sooner so benefits could be on their card. I think that what I really want to say is don't let this impact your ability to reach out. So if you need to apply for benefits, come see us. Once the shutdown is over, we're able to get you on and get you benefits. And we're in a space where it's very difficult to tell 270,000 people what to do because it is such a major impact. Go to 211, reach out to your community, talk to your food banks, do whatever you can do to maintain your family, yourself, and do the best you can to be healthy.
Yeah, Gabriel Kendall, who spoke with our producer Greg, also just wanted to emphasize that it's important that people should also keep in mind that CalFresh, it isn't shut down, it's paused. So if you are potentially a new applicant or renewal, you should still go through the process, even if that shutdown is still ongoing.
Absolutely. If you are not on CalFresh now and you feel like you need it in the future, come to an application. You can apply, call us, you can click online, you can come into one of our offices. If you have a renewal coming up, do your renewal. Don't let there be a lapse in benefits. If you have a report that's due or we're waiting on some documentation to try to help you be eligible, do all of those parts of your application or renewal because you don't want to let benefits lapse.
So with CalFresh paused, if that happens come November 1st, what other resources for food are available for those who qualify?
So right now, all we really have at our disposal is having folks reach out to the food banks. We know that the governor released $80 million of money that was already in the budget to be allocated. He's moved it out faster. But we also need the community to step in. This is not going to be an easy situation. The food banks need help. Community can help. We can all do a piece to make sure that folks are able to get through this.
Okay, so what is the best way for someone to help? How should they start?
First thing I would do is reach out to the website for the food banks and call the food bank. Ask them what they need, whether it's dollar donations, money donations, food donations. See what the community really needs because every community is different. There may be certain food types that certain communities need to shy away from because of religious values or things that may not just be that prevalent in that area. So the biggest thing is to reach out to the food bank system and say, what do you really need from us as a community? And they may direct you to a church. They may direct you to another resource they have to where you'd put that resource that you're willing to part with to help folks.
Ethan, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Ethan Dye is the director of the Sacramento County Department of Human Assistance, which administers CalFresh, after the USDA announced that food benefits will be paused as of November 1st due to the ongoing government shutdown. Up next, a major federal immigration crackdown in the Bay Area was suddenly called off last week. We'll break down the reactions to this planned deployment and what led to its reversal for now. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.